All right. So, for those of you who know it fairly well, there'll be maybe a little bit of review. And it's actually a particular line I want to go over in it to think about. And I'm working largely from, do you know this book? This is Dogen's Gendro Koan. It's three commentaries. And there's a commentary by Nichiren Hojisan that I'm particularly drawn to. Nichiren Hojisan was Kichisawa Ian's teacher. And Kichisawa Ian was Shinryu Suzuki Roshi's teacher. So Suzuki Roshi's teacher, when we chant the ancestors, we chant Jokuju Soan, Daiyosho, Shinryu Suzuki Daiyosho. So Jokuju and Soan is was Shinryu Suzuki's master. He would refer to him as his master, who died when he was 37, but he referred to Kichisawa Ian as his teacher. And in Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, there's this story where he's talking about bowing of his teacher, he said, who had a callus on his forehead from bowing, and that's Kichisawa Ian. And Nichiren Hojisan is his teacher. So Nichiren Hojisan, this commentary was translated by Sojun Mel Weitzman Daiyosho and Kaz Tanahashi. And I will just give you little bits of it, but if any of you want to go further into the Gendro Koan, I find the Gendro Koan is something to return to over and over again. When I was at Tassajara, we had a practice period that was led by Jiko Linda Ruth Cutts, where we studied the Gendro Koan, and she encouraged us to memorize it. So I found that a very worthwhile thing, because then you have it. You always have it. On a night when you can't fall asleep, you can tell yourself the story of the Gendro Koan. You can recite it to yourself. At different times, different lines of it can come into the mind. You know, the a fish swims in the water, and no matter how far it swims, there is no end to the water. A bird flies in the sky, and no matter how far it flies, there's no end to the air. However, the fish and the bird have never left their element. When their need is great, their field is great. When their need is small, their field is small. Thus, each of them covers its full range, and each of them totally experiences its realm. And then, you know, if the bird leaves the air, it will die at once. If the fish leaves the water, it will die at once. Air is life. The bird is life. The fish is life. It goes on like that. And then it says, now if this bird or this fish tries to reach the end of its element and without moving in it, this bird or this fish will not find its way or its place. So this to me, this isn't even the line that I want to talk to you about. I'm just getting carried away with it because it's so beautiful. And it's so human that we have this expression, I'm getting ahead of myself. And often that can mean we're just jumping ahead to something and we're speaking, but actually in life, in a moment by moment sense, it's very common to, for me at least, to get ahead of myself, to have some gaining idea, to rush through something. And just having this reminder to just find my place in this moment, to find my place at this time. But to get back to where I wanted to be, I want to go back to the very beginning and just say a little bit about the title Gendro Koan. Nichiren Hojisan gives it, translates it as, he says, gen is usually means something that is hidden, is revealed. But he says, as Dogen Zenji is using it, that's not the meaning. The meaning is Nothing is hidden and nothing is revealed. This nothing remaining or nothing perishing. It's nothing's hidden. And Joe is completion. So everything is already complete as it is. Whatever appears before us is complete. When I think about this, it's something that I don't notice unless I really stop and think about it. Genjo. Nothing appearing. What's here in front of me is here. That's all. It's already here. It's complete as it is. There's nothing to argue with. And of course, we're human beings, so we do argue with it. But if you think about it deeply, there's nothing to argue with there. Of course, we're human beings, so we have to, and we do. We discuss things, but it's already there. It's something changing, maybe, but whatever is there, it's faster than even instantaneous. Neither appearing nor disappearing. And then ko is impartiality or fairness. Each thing having its own position. And on is holding it. On is to hold Genjo ko on. So, Nichiren Hoshin says, it's nothing but all dharmas are themselves ultimate reality. So dharmas in this sense, for those of you who may not be familiar with the term, just means things. Dharma can mean the teachings, but it can also mean individual things. So given that nothing hidden, nothing appearing, everything being complete as it is, impartiality, fairness, being held, the title is translated as actualizing the fundamental point. So you kind of how to get there. Nichi Jimen Cross translated as the realized universe. So actualizing the fundamental point, that kind of has a pivot in it, that there's something there, a turning point, maybe. The Genjo koan is not something speech can reach. I'm quoting Nichiren Hoshin here. And he quotes a particular priest named Hongko, who wrote a commentary, who said, you must just practice with shashu upon your chest, the position we hold our hands in when we're standing in the zendo. Just shashu upon your chest, just this total activity. There's no other way to understand it. It's just as it is, just accept it as it is, shashu on the chest, something that cannot be put in, speech cannot reach. Genjo Kwon is non-construction, non-construction. So the first few lines, you know, when all things are Buddha Dharma, there is delusion and realization, practice, birth and death, and there are Buddhas and sentient beings. So, Ichiro Bokusan says, Buddha Dharma is not so small-minded that it would say, I don't like such and such a thing, and retire to a house in a back street. So delusion is included in Genjo Koan, not just enlightenment, it's delusion, it's death, not just birth, it's a death as well. It's Buddhas and it's unenlightened sentient beings. As the myriad things are without an abiding self, there is no delusion, no realization, no Buddha, no sentient being, no birth and death. Well, this is emptiness. This is the Heart Sutra. This is the ultimate, the great Thai master, forest master Ajahn Chah said, when you're born, your parents give you a name. Why do they give you a name? Because you don't have one. It's something added. So when the myriad dharmas are without an abiding self, there's no delusion, no realization, no Buddha, no sentient being, no birth and death, nothing added, nothing added. The Buddha way is basically leaping clear of the many and the one. Thus there are birth and death, delusion and realization, sentient beings and Buddhas. Nichiren Bokusan says, leaping clear of abundance and lack, or that would be leaping clear of the many and the one, is Dogen Zenji's body and mind dropped off. That was Dogen Zenji's enlightenment experience, his body and mind dropped off. Being attached is no good. Being separate is no good. Not being separate and not being attached is called going beyond. So this is a big pointer for us in our practice throughout the day, on the cushion, but also just throughout the day. Not being attached and not being separate. When we look at everything that's going on in the world, there can be, for me at least, either grabbing onto it, maybe with a sense of deep despair or outrage, or turning away from it. But the way is neither. Neither. Not separate. But not diving into it. Then the next line, yet in attachment blossoms fall and in aversion weeds spread. Nichijima and Cross have an alternate reading that I really appreciate. One of the nice things about studying, it's more in, I think, Dogen Zenji's informal writings in Shobo Genzo Zui Monkey, thin little volume. When I was at Toshoji, at tea every morning, we would read one section. That section would be read in Japanese and English at least, but because it was an international training temple, it would sometimes be read in German or French or Spanish as well. So we would read sections there. And there's one section where Dogen Zenji talks about poetry, and he kind of says he wasted a lot of time when he was young on things like poetry, which didn't matter so much. And then he says about talking about things or about speaking about the Dharma, that we don't have to worry about, I'm paraphrasing, we don't have to concern ourselves about whether or not our speech is poetic. We should be focused on what we're trying to communicate, really trying to get what we're trying to say across, rather than being concerned about whether it's poetry. And I love the San Francisco Zen Center version that we chant of the Genjo Koan, because it is very poetic and it flows very, very well. And then if you read some of the other translations, Nichijima and Cross has, for those of you who are familiar with their translation of the Shobo Genzo, many, many footnotes. And the language doesn't necessarily flow in the same way. Yet when I read it, I often pick up things that I don't necessarily get in other translations. So I find it very valuable to look at it. And for this line, yet in attachment blossoms fall, and in aversion weeds spread, instead they have, and though it is like this, it is only that flowers, while loved, fall, and weeds, while hated, flourish. Very simple. Very simple. Very clear. Oh, it's like this. Yeah. It's like this. The flowers, while loved, fall, and weeds, while hated, flourish. Well, now I'm getting to the point that I really wanted to talk about tonight, which is the line in the Zen Center translation that we chant. It's to carry yourself forward and experience myriad things is delusion, that myriad things come forth and experience themselves is awakening. Now, as Sojin Mel Weitzman and Kaz Ta-Nehisi translated it for Nichiren Bokusan's commentary, they translate it as to carry the self forward and experience myriad things is delusion, that myriad things come forth and experience the self is awakening. So I'm going to say that again. To carry the self forward and experience myriad things is delusion, that myriad things come forth and experience the self is awakening. So this is a very different feeling. And as I read Nichiren Bokusan's commentary, it seems that this is the way it really needs to be translated for his commentary, because he discusses the self. Let's see. Nichiren Bokusan, to carry the self forward and illuminate myriad dharmas is to look for the dharma outside of the mind. This is the domain of delusion. Of course, delusion is included in Genjo Koan, but it's the realm of delusion. When the self does not have a speck of contrivance, myriad dharmas pour into the self without hindrance. Self and dharmas are one body. This section illustrates two modes of dharma. It is not discussing what is normally called ego or human self. So I think this is the point I wanted to talk about, talk a little bit about it, and then hear your thoughts on it. So he says, simply speaking, there is a distinction between effort and non-effort. We don't need many words. It is the realm of non-effort where the entire Dharma Dhatu, that is the entire realm of Dharma, becomes the Buddha's seal. Thus, myriad dharmas enter the self. Thinking and discrimination take place in the realm of effort. By means of thinking and discrimination, the self and illumination are lost. The point cannot be understood without actually practicing and investigating. So, one thing that he ties it to, these two modes, he discusses it in terms of the Dharma turning you and you turning the Dharma. And in brackets, meaning it's not there in the text, Sojourn and Kaz reference Gakudo Yojinshu. Gakudo Yojinshu, points to watch in practicing the way. And that's collected in this little book, The Heart of Zen, which is put out by the Soto Shu. Are some of you familiar with this little book? It's a beautiful little book, and it has Gakudo Yojinshu is not part of the Shobogenzo. It's not in the Shobogenzo, but it is collected in this, and it has in this it's split up in 10 sections. And the section he's referring to, that they're referring to, is there is one thing you have to understand, that is the Dharma turns you and you turn the Dharma. When you turn the Dharma, you are strong and the Dharma is weak. When the Dharma turns you, the Dharma is strong and you are weak. These two aspects are always present in the Buddha Dharma. There is no one who knows this unless it has been transmitted to him or her by a true teacher. So you need a true teacher for this. So it's something we can always ask a true teacher about. But, you know, this, the Dharma turns you and you turn the Dharma. This is, illuminated further in Hokke Ten Hokke. It's a translation of that is something like, the Dharma flower, turning the Dharma flower, something like that. And there's a story in there in the order of Zen master Daikon, that's a Daikon Eno, the sixth ancestor, at Horinji Temple in Sokeizan Mountain in the Shoshu district of Kongtung in the great kingdom of Tang. There came a monk called Hotatsu. He boasted, I have recited the Lotus Sutra 3,000 times already. The patriarch said, even if you recited it 10,000 times, if you do not understand the sutra, you will not be able even to recognize your errors. Hotatsu said, the student is foolish. Until now, I have only been reading the sutra aloud, following the characters. How could I have hoped to clarify the meaning? So he humbles himself before the teacher. The patriarch says, try reciting a round of the sutra and I will interpret it for you. Hotatsu recites the sutra at once. When he reaches the expedient means chapter, the patriarch says, stop. The fundamental point of this sutra is the purpose of the Buddha's appearing in the world. Although it expounds many metaphors, the sutra does not go beyond this. What is that purpose? Only the one great matter. The one great matter is just the Buddha's wisdom itself. It is to disclose, to display, to realize, and to enter the Buddha's wisdom. The one great matter is naturally the wisdom of the Buddha and someone who is equipped. And someone who is equipped with the wisdom is already a Buddha. You must now believe that the Buddha's wisdom is simply your own natural state of mind. So this is not so simple. But anyway, he preaches again in the following verse. When the mind is in delusion, the flower of Dharma turns. When the mind is in realization, we turn the flower of Dharma. Unless we are clear about ourselves, however long we recite the sutra, it will become an enemy because of its meanings. Without intention, the mind is right. With intention, the mind becomes wrong. When we transcend both with and without, we ride eternally in the white ox cart. So the white ox cart refers to the one vehicle. What's being referred to is a story in the Lotus Sutra of the burning house and the father coaxing the children out of the house with telling them that he has many, many different kinds of carts that they very much want. So he gets them to leave the burning house. But then when they get outside, they find there's just the one white ox cart the one Dharma vehicle. One thing that I thought was particularly interesting in this poem is that, again, it's without intention, the mind is right. With intention, the mind becomes wrong. To carry yourself forward and experience myriad things is delusion. That myriad things, to carry the self forward and experience myriad things is delusion. That myriad things come forth and experience the self is awakening. And let's see, I've lost where that comment is. Yeah, Nichiren Bokusan says, simply speaking, there is a distinction between effort and non-effort. We don't need many words. In the realm of it is the realm of non-effort where the entire Dhamma Dhatu becomes the Buddha's seal. Okay. With that point, again, I want to go to this Gakudo Yojinshu in a different section that wasn't, referred to in the text about the Genjo Koan. But when I read it, looking for where it was referred to in Gakudo points for practicing to watch and practicing the way, I was really struck by this. Practitioners, this is Dogen Zenji speaking. Practitioners, you must understand that the Buddha way lies beyond thinking, discrimination, viewing, contemplation, perception, and intellection. If the Buddha way were contained within these mental functions, why haven't you yet awakened? Since you have always been living and playing within that domain. In practicing the way, you should not use thinking or discrimination. If you look at the self that is always influenced by such things as thinking, this will be as clear as looking into a bright mirror. So, in practicing the way, you should not use thinking or discrimination. This goes right to the heart of Fukan Zazengi. This is something I've been reflecting on a lot. You should therefore cease from practice based on intellectual understanding, pursuing words and following after speech, and learn the backward step that turns the light inwardly to eliminate the self. You should therefore cease from intellectual practice, pursuing words and following after speech. There's one cease. Later in the Fukan Zazengi, Dogen Zenji says, cast aside all involvements and cease all affairs. Do not think good and bad. Do not administer pros and cons. Cease all the movements of the conscious mind, the gauging of all thoughts and views. This is, I think, as we practice more and more, year after year, it's kind of like in Zen mind, beginner's mind, at the very beginning, maybe even in the preface, Suzuki Roshi talks about chanting the Heart Sutra and how beautifully the students chanted the Heart Sutra. But he says, what if you chanted it 10 times or 100 times or 1,000 times? Would you be chanting it with the same freshness and the same vigor? And I think this point for me at least, I have to keep coming back to this very key point in Zazen of the ears aligned with the shoulders, the nose aligned with the navel, that our posture in Zazen has a tremendous influence on our thinking or our non-thinking. How do you think of thinking, non-thinking? This is the essential art of Zazen. So we have these many statements about letting go of perception, intellection, contemplation, viewing, discrimination, thinking, and to just settle down to practice the way without using thinking or discrimination. Without using thinking or discrimination. But of course, we're stuck with thinking and discrimination. Deluded human beings, speaking for myself at least, deluded human being. So we have the Genjo Koan, where delusion is included. And there is a border, a borderline. Those who have great realization of delusion are Buddhas. Those who are greatly deluded about realization are sentient beings. Further, there are those who continue realizing beyond realization, who are in delusion throughout delusion. When you are deluded, what are you deluded about? You are deluded about enlightenment. In the end, what we call delusion and enlightenment, when we talk about delusion and enlightenment, we are talking about a borderline between self and the myriad dharmas. So this is really what I've been trying to this is what I've been turning in my mind, this borderline between the self and the myriad dharmas. One way I've thought about it, but I say this very tentatively because it's a conception about it. But here he says, this section illustrates two modes of dharma. It is not discussing what is normally called ego or human self. Okay. Still, as I go about my life, every moment of my life, I take the world as it is. And I move through it as it is. And I think, you know, that's a glass, you know, it's my bed, it's my, for me, for sleeping in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That this might be to carry the self forward and experience myriad things. The myriad things, I don't see, you know, from the standpoint of science, I don't see the same way a bee sees or a butterfly sees. The way I see is different. I don't have the olfactory sensitivity of a dog. You know, I don't have the same capability in terms of smelling things. My world is different. I don't see the same wavelength as other animals see. I don't have the same hearing range as other animals have. But I conceive of it in a certain way and I move forward in it. But what if I don't move forward in it in that way? Can I allow it to pour into me? Can I allow it to pour into me? Even in Zazen, to have a small understanding of that, a small or a large understanding of that, allowing the myriad dharmas to pour into the self. I'm not sure I'm saying it so well, but I think perhaps I've said enough, and we could maybe have some questions or comments.
Hi, Kathy. It's Oscar.
Hi, Oscar. Nice to
Hi.
See you.
It's good to see you, too. Oh, wow. Well, that's pretty rich. Reb once suggested to me or advised me, don't come to conclusions. Which I kind of is... Okay, that's sounds like that's what you're talking about too. I found it quite difficult to not come to conclusions. Like, oh, that's my bed, and that's for where I sleep. That's a conclusion. Nowadays, and I've kind of given up. Not coming to conclusions. I've shifted to like offer my conclusions to reality because they're not real, so they're different than reality. So I can offer them to what they're not. And it reminds me of once when I was in Florida some years ago, and there was a hurricane all night long outside my window. It was a real hurricane, and there was a bit of damage done. And then early the next morning, about dawn, some sort of emergency vehicle drove by with this light flashing, no red light flashing, no siren, and somehow the hurricane primed me. When I saw that red light flashing, it just poured into me. It just went by like a horseman through past the window, you know, just whoop, there it was, went. So thank you very much for talking about all that, reminding us about that and reminding us about the Genjo Koan. It's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Oscar. I thank you for sharing your experience and also for your comments about conclusions. You know, it's all included within the Genjo Koan, and these conclusions are necessary for us, even though the you know, to say, I mean, where would we be if we didn't share our sense of what is what. I mean, to look at a different part of the Genjo Koan, when you sail out in a boat to the midst of an ocean where no land is in sight and view the four directions, the ocean looks circular and does not look any other way, but the ocean is neither round nor square. Its features are infinite in variety. It is like a palace. It is like a jewel. So you know, we can't, conclusions happen. Conclusions happen, but we can have a question there. Is that so? you know. Is that so? No. Yeah. I noticed now, if I think that something has just happened or is going to happen, which is very good, very, very good, then I think, oh, watch out. Watch out. No. Not that we can't have good things, but yeah. Other comments or questions?
Anybody else? Hi, thank you very much for your talk. It's pretty astounding, actually. And I had a question or something about the business with Suzuki Roshi and the chanting, and whether one would continue to do that with the same vigor or intensity or whatever. And I was just wondering, isn't that also something about just being in this moment and whatever one is doing, just doing it wholeheartedly right at that time?
Yes, very much so. Precisely so. And the tendency can be sometimes when we, there's often, you know, there's another place in Zen Mind Beginner's Mind. It might not be in Zen Mind Beginner's Mind, maybe, and not always so, where he talks about if you go to a restaurant and then you think this restaurant is not so good, I should have gone to a different restaurant. And he says, there isn't another restaurant. It's 1 o'clock in this restaurant, and 1 o'clock in this restaurant is all there is. There isn't another restaurant. So it's like that, but we forget that. So you're right. It is about being in the moment. And we need to practice to keep that idea fresh, or that reality fresh. Yeah. Thank you. Great question. Comments.
I am Scott. I just want to thank you very, very much for a really beautiful and rich talk. I've been inspired by the Ginjo Koan, you know, throughout my practice life. And, you know, I think when practices, you know, over the years that particularly when you start practicing, you somehow, when I read the Ginjo Koan the first time, I just felt the truth of it so much. And it was so, you know, it was so inspiring and so beautiful. And, you know, it's possible to feel resentment for not, for not being able to break through that apparent wall between the self moving forward among phenomena and phenomena moving forward with you as self. But the thing for it now for me is that it's just wonderful knowing that that's possible. That it's really possible. And I have faith that it is. And I've learned that, the awakening can't be a caused thing. If it was a caused thing, it would be like every other dependent, a phenomena. So you can't go through a program of, you know, do this in your practice and that in your practice and this, and then you'll get the great diploma at the end of awakening. It doesn't work that way, I don't think. But still you must practice. Still you must. Even though, you know, it's not something that can cause enlightenment. It can't cause awakening. It's something entirely outside of that possibility, you know, of manipulating awakening into happening. But the Ginjo Koan has always been something that I intuited to be absolutely true. And I rejoice that that is, you know, that that is true. And, you know, thank you so much for your wonderful explanations of the various approaches to it. Thank you.
Thank you for that beautiful expression. And I heard the longing. And to me, hearing that longing, it goes right to the line, and though it is like this, it is only that flowers while loved fall and weeds while hated flourish. So this is our day-to-day experience. But it's an odd thing about not having a gaining idea, no gaining idea. But at the same time, to have no gaining idea is not to be without an aim. So I want to really encourage aiming in that way. And that longing is a wonderful longing. It's a wonderful longing. And of course, you don't want it destroying your life, but that faith that it is there. And it's true. We never know what will happen. Dogen Zenji, he was in the sitting zazen with his teacher. His teacher was, Ruijing was walking around the zendo with his slipper, hitting the monks. You know, when are you going to wake up? And he wasn't hitting Dogen Zenji, but Dogen Zenji was hearing him hitting the students, and Dogen Zenji woke up. So he went and offered incense to his teacher and said, body and mind have dropped off. Body and mind dropped off. So we don't know. We don't know. And I'm sure Oscar can tell you, even if you have an experience of the emergency vehicle going by and the red light pouring into the self, it doesn't come again. You're practicing. And even though it is like this, you know, it's only that flowers well loved fall and weeds well hated flourish. So we go on. But I think this is why I keep coming back to the many, many times and many, many different ways that Dogen Zenji says to let go of the thinking mind. To let go of the thinking mind. I find for myself in Zazen that posture is really key. That my experience of Zazen, when I pay very close attention to the Fukan Zazengi, you know, whether you can sit lotus or half lotus, you're sitting in a chair, okay, but how you carefully form the mudra, but more than that, that the ears are over the shoulders and the nose is over the navel, you know, to make effort to hold that posture, you know, it's funny because there's this thing of non-effort. It's the realm of non-effort. But yet, for us, non-effort is an effort. And I think the effort of non-effort is our posture in Zazen. Yeah. But thank you very much. I thought that was a beautiful, beautiful comment. Thank you.
I noted, hi Kathy, it's Jim.
Hi Jim.
I noted that statement by Nityar Bokshan, I think, but and maybe it was one of the other commentators that there's a borderline.
Yes.
And I was thinking it's an open border, which is, you know, a kind of charged word these days, but or, you know, like a permeable membrane, because it seems to me that you know, if you can't have all dharmas come forward to confirm something, self, this, you know, non-ego self, whatever, you know, whatever we mean by that, you can't have that come forward without you know, aiming, as you're saying, aiming without a self that is going, actually, you know, thinks what's to do is to go forward and confirm things. I mean, they go together. That's what I'm trying to say. These delusion and realization, they work. They're working together, you know, and in this wonderful way. And so we don't have to, you know, this means we don't have to be against our deluded self, which is important. We should be, you know, we don't have to be for our deluded self either. But anyway, we can be just, you know, deluded self. Wonderful. Oh, you know, let's see, the light, the Dharma pouring in, you know, from the street. Wonderful. So, yeah, thank you. That's interesting. I love that line as well, and it's always spoken to me and puzzled me and awakened me as well. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your comments, Jim. And I, you know, the part, even though I read it and I talked about it, the part I very much need help with is when you're strong, you turn the Dharma, the flower of the Dharma. And when the Dharma is strong, the Dharma turns you. And this is a koan. This is something that, for me, it's very much a koan. It's something I reflect on, not something I have some solution or clear answer for. So thank you.
Well, it was something in that what you said. There was it said when the Dharma is strong, you are weak. Didn't it say that's what you read?
It says when let me just find exactly. Give me just a second here.
Oh, I said something about weak.
Here it is. When the mind is in delusion, the flower of Dharma turns. When the mind is in delusion, the flower of Dharma turns. When the mind is in realization, we turn the flower of Dharma. That's one expression. That's the expression from Hokke Ten Hokke. And then the other expression from Gakudo Yojinshu is, this is the one thing you have to understand. That is, the Dharma turns you and you turn the Dharma. When you turn the Dharma, you are strong and the Dharma is weak. When the Dharma turns you, the Dharma is strong and you are weak. These two aspects are always present in the Buddha Dharma. Yeah. So, It does say that. Yeah. So maybe the weakness goes along with the mind in delusion. And, the strong goes along with the mind in realization. I think somewhere in Hokke Ten Hokke.
Or vice versa.
Sorry?
Or vice versa.
Vice versa.
Yeah, vice versa.
I think Dogen says something like, Dogen Zenji says something like, actually, it's the Dharma flower twirling the Dharma flower, or something like that. You know. So, yes.
There's some more questions over here. Just a second.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
It's Dora Lee.
Hi. It's wonderful to see you.
Good to see you, too. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you so much. It's such a warm reception.
Oh. I was just this whole idea of being turned by the Dharma and just noticing all these moments just recently, like where I decide something means something, and then something happens when I realize that what I thought it meant wasn't what it meant. And then that's kind of this moment of opening, but then that moment of opening becomes, I've got it now. Mm. And so then I have to realize that, oh, I just thought that I got it now. And so I was holding on to it as if I know. And even especially when good things happen, you know, it's like, oh, that was like a real opening moment. And then suddenly it's like, oh, if I say I have no idea what that moment was, then something else starts to happen inside. And it's kind of amazing. It's almost like you're saying, it's this turning. Thank you.
Thank you. Really, that's a beautiful question, a beautiful comment, and it resonates for me also. And it's also, I do really urge people who are into studying, if you're into studying the Genjo Koan at all, that this commentary, I don't know if you don't, it has one of my favorite lines, and I think I've quoted it here at a previous Dharma talk, as I have a great power, some Nichiren Bokusan quotes, he says a great Zen master said, as I have a great power, when the wind blows, I fall down. You know, that's for me, that's like, yes, that's it. You know, I fall down, to fall all the way down when you fall down. So, but what I particularly related to in what you're saying is holding on to things and not letting things change. And, Nichiren Bokusan makes particularly the point of getting rid of this think of enlightenment. If we ever think we've had an enlightenment experience that realization beyond realization is to let go of realization, to have no trace of realization left and be ready for another realization. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So if there's no more questions, maybe.
Yes.
About.
Do we have the chant out? I can't see everyone on Zoom, so I don't know if somebody is raising their hand that I can't see.
Is anybody raising their hand on Zoom? I'm sorry, I didn't look. Any questions there? No? All content? Okay. All right, good enough. Well, thank you all very much.
Thank you so much.